And now I will present you. This is Isabella.
Hello.
Who will talk about a Sega Saturn architectural hell. Basically, I remember all these old boxes, and they're all very different in between. And the Sega Saturn was really different, and he, no, she will talk about this. Thank you.
Hello, hello, welcome to my presentation on the Sega Saturn architectural hell. So if you're an angel, you've probably fallen to hell now. So let's talk a little bit about myself, you know. Talk Hackerspace member. One of our members is in the crowd right now, watching. I like really old hardware, like the Cray. And if I didn't, I probably wouldn't be doing this presentation. As you can see, I really like cat memes. This is like a picture of me on an average day. And I'm also the proud owner of the Matrix with Malay subs on VCD. This presentation is dedicated to the best person ever. Segata Sanchiro. He was the mascot for the Sega Saturn, and I want you to all basically stand up for the anthem for this legend. I have video. Oh no, the sun is stopping me. Can someone redirect me? That worked. So.
しこめた一人の男が今日も行く真面目に遊ばぬ奴らには体で覚えさせるぞセガタサンシロセガタサンシロセガサタンシロ
カラオケナンパにクラブホーターにすることあるだろうが触れなきゃ遊べぬ奴らには心に問いかけるぞセガタサンシロセガタサンシロセガサタンシロ真剣に取り組んでいるものがあるか命がけで打ち込んでいるものがあるか姿勢しろ指が折れるまで指が折れるまで刹那の快楽追い続けても 虚しい余生が残るだけとことん極める奴らには体に叩き込むぞセガタサンシロセガタサンシロセガサタンシロ白い武器具も真っ赤にたぎる遊びの地途中で投げ出す奴らには体で覚えさせるぞ
Oh, that gets you hyped. Because it got me. All my worries are gone. The sad part is, he sadly passed away after trying to save Sega. Basically, this bad guy sent a missile to Sega. And just, if you don't know why I'm doing this, it's for him. It's for Sega's Sato. No. But, yeah, so, this is our project lead. I didn't realize I moved to the next presentation slide. Yeah, that's correct. Hideki Sako is the project lead of Saturn, of Project Saturn. He was born on November 5th, 1950, joined Sega in April of 71, and has worked on all major Sega systems. So if you ever owned a Mega Drive, Genesis, Saturn, or even a Dreamcast, he was behind it. He's also responsible for a controversial decision. But Sega had used planets for to base their project names on. So you had Mercury, which was the Game Gear. Venus being the Nomad. Earth was the Terra Drive. If you don't know what that is, it was an IBM PC with a Mega Drive built in. So if you ever find that, I recommend it. Neptune, which was a cancelled project. It was supposed to include the Mega Drive and the 32X. Pluto, which was a Sega Saturn just with a modem built in. There was only 5 made of them. And the topic of this presentation, Saturn. So, let's just say it was not a great development cycle. Started around 1992. Between 1992 and 1993. And basically, it was kind of going a bit normal. They made a deal with Hitachi to produce the SH2. But the graphics was a different story. So Sega of America wanted to use SGI as hardware for their next graphics chip. The only issue with that was the prototype had some hardware issues. It was not great. So they decided to cancel it. Cancel their deal with that. And went with their own proprietary chip, which is the VDP 1 and 2. Here's the prototype drawings of the Saturn. You can tell early on they really wanted that sci-fi space aesthetic and bleeds into the main multiplayer of the Saturn, which was the CD player. So, that was a fast history lesson. But there wasn't much known about the Saturn's history other than just the deal with Hitachi and SGI. So, let's get on to the hardware, which is where my favorite parts are. So we have on the left a board view of the Saturn. You can see its dual SH2s, and on the right, there's my child, the SH2. This was a block diagram of the SH2, and if I could see it, I forgot to pull. So it's a pretty complex chip in a way, if you want to consider it. So during development, one of the things that was known was the fact it was a 2D, it was meant to be a 2D sprite-based hardware. So, but when Sony announced their PlayStation, the future was treaty, which, so one Hitachi wasn't enough for them, so they had to add another SH2 to be able to do it, to perform what was needed for rendering polygons. One huge problem that even the main project lead said was zero compilers from the start. Zero development libraries. So you are expected to program basically a new chip, a new RISC chip that was dual. In 2006, people were already complaining about developing for the PS3. This is 1994 with two dual processors. So, here's our dual Hitachi SH2s. They're basically like little dudes, like little cats, as we have here, running at 28.68 megahertz each over a 32-bit external data bus, which we'll be getting over, and this is time to. And so how I usually say it is programming is too easy. We're dual. Everything's better when you add another one. So actually, programming for it, this is how they expected you to, the IPL, which is what initializes both CPUs into what they're known. And so that's how they communicate. And it's a pretty complex thing. If you've seen some code examples, it's very hard to explain how they book. But here's another thing, which kind of ties them all together, which is the system management and peripheral control. It's a 4-bit single chip from Hitachi, based on. So this is what basically turns on and off your individual microprocessors in the Saturn, like the SH1, which is what we talked about, SH2, and then SH1 was the DVD, the CD drive that was in the Sega Saturn. So it was kind of like a Commodore situation in a way, where they had their own processor. Also the 68EC 000, which was the sound CPU, and it was powered by the button cell battery, so it's also needed for the real-time clock, which, so that means when you turn off your Sega Saturn, it's not actually fully turned off, because this little guy is still running. And it also does peripheral control, so when you plug in a controller, this is what's running it. Has two modes for it. It's direct. There's direct, where the SH2 just accesses all devices, or indirect, where the SMPC regularly pulls over a serial connection. Fun fact about this, in the developer manual, they talk about using Mega Drive controllers, and I don't think they ever made an adapter. So if someone wants to do a project, hit me up. And then here's where stuff gets too complicated, which is the SCU, the Sega Control Unit. So this is what runs between the data buses, with A, and there's two other buses, bus A and bus B. Bus A running on the CD and soft. Sorry about that. No. CD and cartridge software bus. So that's how it gets this. And also B bus, which is between the two graphics chips. So this is what controls. It's kind of like the traces or glue. And it also serves as a co-processor. So you're actually not really developing, you're not really targeting two CPUs in a way. You're targeting three. Because the SCU is a Harvard Architecture Digital Signal Process. So it's the bus controller and the direct. So it has direct memory access. So this puts a, this also integrates all the A bus and B bus memory and processors into a larger SH2 pool, the SH2 memory map. But one thing you can also do with the SCU is offload some of the matrix calculations from the VDP1. So kind of making it more efficient, but the trade-off being you have to, it's more complex. As you can see here, this is the block diagram that's inside the DSP, that because the SCU also works as a digital signal process. So we have the 8 different buses, and also the ALU, which is the arithmetic unit, being able to output to 48 bits. Well, and here's another diagram. This is kind of, sorry, the block diagram between the A and B bus. And sorry, it's, this is my first time presenting, so I'm a bit iffy, to be honest. So the next one is this Saturn's custom sound processor, which is a collaboration which was made by Yamaha for use in Sega Saturn, but was also used in the arcade version of the Sega Saturn, which was the Arcade Titan. As three parts, the digital oscillator with a 32 dual process PCM/FM slot, so you can do your bleeps and bloops and recorded voices at 44.1 kilohertz. It has its own 128 step DSP and digital mixer with a built-in MIDI interface. So it's quite powerful on its own as a sound chip, but it also interfaces with the sound CPU, which is the Motorola 68EC000, so allowing the system to run at its own pace. So here's the inside of it. As you can see, it has three, it supports three forms of waves: sawtooth, square, and triangle. And sorry, this is hard to see. Yeah, and here's the block diagram. As you can tell, it has this sound processor, air control, and no. So the VDP1, this is where we get to the fun stuff, which is the graphics chip that's inside. So the VDP's main goal is to draw sprites, lines, and polygons. So it has its own 4 megabits of VRAM with 2 frame buffers working together in with 256 kilobytes of RAM. So here's the different functions. You have sprite scaling, because Saturn's strongest suit is sprites, because that's what it was designed for. So it's kind of like Nintendo's Mode 7 on crack in many ways. It can also do sprite distortions, a lot of 2D and 3D games use this for Lion. So it's a pretty, as I said, powerful 2D system. This is how it's connected to the different IC, the different buses. So as you can tell, and you also have, that's how it connects to the VDP too. And as an example, one second, if we go back, if you look at the screen that, the screenshot I provided, so ignore the background. If you see the foreground, that's all what VDP 1's doing. It's drawing the interface you see there on your screen, and also the cubes. And then we get to its twin, its brother, the video display processor too, which is the true heavy lifting heavyweight champion. This deals with the scrolling function, priority function, which gets to the foreground and background, and also image processing. So as you can see here, this is without the VDP's one's influence. It's drawing the background and also the little stars. The stars go up and down, and it's really cute. And it also has its own 4 megabits worth of VRAM and a 32 kilobits of color RAM for storing color data. So here's another example, because Dead or Alive really uses it well. As you can tell, without the VDP's one's influence, it draws most of the screen you see there, including the backgrounds and the foreground. So, Koei Tecmo really outdone themselves, because most Saturn games never do this way of drawing. But I guess that's because of the jiggle physics that are included in Dead or Alive. So it's a very impressive game if you're ever wanting to learn more. So here's how it connects to the different systems, like everything else. Has its own Also, if display, yeah. So then, when you combine both of them together, you get your full image, the one you see here, and it's pretty good. I added this as a joke, but it's actually pretty cool. So Saturn doesn't include MPEG decoding on board, so you have to provide your own little card, which is what interfaces with the VDP too, as you can tell. Here, the external screen circuitry. So I wasn't expecting to. So here's the full diagram of the block diagram of the Saturn. You have your CD-ROM subsystems. They're all connected pretty tightly. And I wasn't expecting to get through this presentation that fast. So the Saturn was a bit of a failure, to say least, but only selling about 9.25 million overall worldwide, which is sold most in Japan with 5.75 million. I could understand why they had Sega, that everyone else had that weird face thing. I don't know. But yeah. Ah. Sorry. But yeah, I'm sorry. I want to thank like a lot of people on this list. Rodrigo Copetti, if you're ever interested, he's more experienced than me in the Sega Saturn architecture. He made an amazing article overview. Antimes Feeblies, he documented a lot of the stuff that you saw on screen. He documented the development documents and has a sum. The Saturn community, because they're just amazing and have been keeping this console, this weird console alive with Homebrew. And to everyone who helped me throughout this presentation, I thought it was going to be longer, but I kind of went too fast because I got... So if you enjoy it, you can follow me on Mastodon. And I'm sorry for this short presentation. If you have any questions,
if there are any questions, hand you the mic. Thank
you. Yes, thank you for the presentation. Could you tell us how many subsystem will have to be programmed to make a game on the Saturn?
So how many subsystems? So you would have to develop. So just for processing tree, being the two Hitachi SH2s and the SCU. For your graphics, that's also two. So in a way, to develop a full game on the Sega Saturn efficiently, it's five. It's around four or five. Okay. Brain not working.
Yeah, is this okay? Great. Hi, I don't know if you mentioned this and I just didn't hear it, but wasn't the Saturn one of the only few consoles who used quads instead of triangles for 3D rendering? And that made development way harder.
Thank you for reminding me that. So yes, the Saturn does use quads instead of the traditional triangle, which actually makes a very, very annoying to do wireframes, because most GPUs are not optimized for doing quads. And it's... So it gives a unique... The thing that makes quads really good is at a low count, things can look really smooth on it. So if you look at Sonic Jam, if that ran on a PlayStation, I'd say it would be more triangular. Thank you for that.
Oh. Congratulations on your first presentation.
Thanks.
So at the time that the Sega Saturn was released, Sega's arcade division also released a Model 2, right?
Yes.
And the Model 2 has very impressive 3D for the time and basically kicks everyone's ass in the arcades. Why was Sega's arcade division so much stronger in 3D than Sega's console division?
Well, one thing about the Model 2 is that it was actually a collaboration between Lockheed Martin. So your model, this impressive Model 2, is thanks to some war criminals. But yes, because they're also at the time, they were completely separate divisions. But and a lot of the team from the arcade division came from the System 32, which is at the time a very impressive sprite-based hardware. In his interview, he said that like you couldn't just grab I forgot his name, from AM2 to help with Siren Games. Is there any more questions?
Yeah, I've got one. You mentioned in the beginning that it was all like assembly all the way down.
Yeah.
Did they ever fix that? Did Sega eventually release a
later
compiler?
On, they added C and C++ libraries, but they were way more slower than the assembly, so you're kind of expected to use assembly to get the squeeze the most performance. And does that satisfy? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, thank you for the presentation. You mentioned the Yamaha audio system on the Saturn.
Yeah.
Is it the same as that was used on the Mega Drive earlier?
No.
Was the tooling a bit the same so that the sound engineer could adapt to it, or was it like from scratch and burned all bridges since the last hardware?
So if I remember correctly, the Saturn used a new sound chip from Yamaha. You could get away with doing the same kind of sounds, but at this time CD audio was the big thing. You wanted, if I have it here, I'll have the name if I include it. But if you, but yeah, it's a custom chip, so it's not the same.
Any other questions?
Just since GCC is now supporting VSH2, can you comment on current homebrew tools, or is there any abstraction of this complex architecture in the homebrew community?
So in the homebrew community, yeah, definitely having that. One thing that has helped with, I'd say helped with homebrew is the fact is the SH2 is now open source. The patent's expired, so there's a project that's dedicated to re-implementing the SH2 as an open source core for an FPGA device. If you're interested in that, the J2 project, that's what it's called.
On the topic of the SH2, I remember that it is a dual pipeline architecture. Does that mean that in addition to having two CPU cores, the Sega Saturn has two threads per core? How do these work?
So basically, how it works is, so you have the main SH2 that will pipe instructions down to the other SH2. So, but that was a feature, the dual pipeline. That's when they were developing it, that was kind of like a hidden feature of it, and that's what allowed that. Any more questions?
Then thank you, Isabella. That was
thank
a
you,
deep dive.
Next time I probably won't be as.
For your first speak, thank you very much.